Goldman Sachs has a new report out described by Zero Hedge as its most comprehensive study of the gold market ever. It sets out to re-educate clients who are underexposed to the asset but increasingly aware of its relevance. It's composed of equal parts history lesson, textbook, and nuanced insights. It combines structural analysis with practical models, presenting gold as a market defined less by supply-demand balances and more by ownership dynamics.
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each morning Vince brings you the financial and precious metals news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vince Lancey, and this is the Gold Fix Market Rundown. It's Jackson Hole Week, and there's our homepage. Today, we will be talking about the ultimate gold market primer. That's our opinion, as put out by Goldman Sachs. We'll talk about that in a second. Time to rethink miners. Got a lot of positive feedback on that. And yeah, it's time to rethink miners at the normal level. Let's start with the markets. 10-year yields are up 2.5 at 431 and change. The dollar is 98.37, up 15. The S&P 500 is weak again. This is, I think, the fourth day in a row. 63.76 down 19. The VIX is 16.25, up 57. Gold is 33.34, down 35, down 13. Silver is 37.70, down 17, 18. Copper is 439, 440, down 1 and change. WTI is up 27 at 63.90. Natural gas, 275, unchanged bid. Bitcoin down 1,100 at 113 spot 070. Ethereum 4273, down 62. That seems to have cooled off a little bit. Palladium, platinum, both down. Looks like they're weighing on it. Palladium a little under 1,100 at down 14. And platinum 13, 19 and change, down 19. Gold, silver holding steady at 88 and change. Grains are bid scaling higher, soy, corn, wheat, up 30 basis points, up 60 basis points, and up a full percentage point. Okay, the ultimate gold market prime. Goldman Sachs has a new report out described by Zero Hedge as its most comprehensive study of the gold market ever. It sets out to re-educate clients who are underexposed to the asset, but increasingly aware of its relevance. That's our opinion. It's composed of equal parts history lesson, textbook, and nuanced insights. It combines structural analysis with practical models, presenting gold as a market defined less by supply-demand balances and more by ownership dynamics. Part one of the work explains why gold differs from other commodities. Conviction buyers, central banks, ETFs, and speculators drive direction with thesis-based allocations, while opportunistic buyers in emerging markets, we'll just say there's longer-term investor types, provide stability at extremes without dictating trend. Their model also suggests that every 100 tons of gold bought adds about 1.7% to the price, which is an interesting metric. Looking back over the last year, it works very well. The report also underscores that high prices do not necessarily curb demand. Now, shown in the 1970s, conviction can propel gold far beyond conventional limits, reinforcing its role as a hedge against policy weakness and geopolitical risk. We broke it into two parts. Topics for part one today, which went out this morning, are where and how gold trades globally. Physical, futures, refineries, and how it all connects. How gold is unlike other commodities? Well, gold's not consumed. You hear us say that all the time. And in the past, that has been a reason to be bearish gold, because gold's not consumed. But it's also a reason to be bullish gold if they want it, because it generally doesn't change hands once it trades. The consumption of gold is almost always in strong hands, and it's getting stronger now. A quote from them: "You can't pump gold, but you can bid it out of someone's hands." Now, at first I thought they meant pump it up. That was the zero hedge title, and it's a great title. But what they mean is you can't just turn on the spigot and pump more gold like you can in oil. So you have to get it higher to make it go higher. It lends itself to these spiraling upward sort of things. They go through who the strong and weak-handed owners of gold are, who's strong and who's weak, and they don't say it the way I'm saying it, but that's what they do. Like, these are high conviction buyers, and these are, what's the word they use? Opportunistic buyers. Right, exactly. How physical demand has changed gold modeling. That's a reference to the fact that something that we were very early on, and that is in 21, 22, before the war started, we were talking about gold was ignoring correlations. And that's because there was physical demand again, and that would continue. And it did continue. And they spell it out here, how physical demand has changed gold modeling. The full analysis is in the Premium Post, the Ultimate Gold Market Primer, and we strongly recommend you read it. Related post, time to rethink miners, Gold-Fix PM market recap. We'll touch on the market recap when we go through the market today. Bank of America mining highlights, and Trump is playing a little Nancy Pelosi game there. He accumulates over $100 million in bonds since return to office. Not necessarily nefarious, it is what it is. That's what you do. You're allowed to own bonds. Moving on, coming soon, ANZ Bank makes gold's case more compelling. UBS, this came in yesterday, raises gold's targets for fresh reasons. We thought they would, but pretty soon to do this. America's Two Paths through Anti-Goldilocks, that's an opinion piece. And Goldman's part two of the primer. Data on deck, as we said, yesterday was housing. I'm sorry, Tuesday was housing. Yesterday was the FOMC. Today is more housing. But the Jackson Hole meeting starts today. People have arrived, basically a tipsy town. And there will be speakers all day for the next couple of days. I'm just suggesting from experience that if you have a position that you may or may not want to do something on a news item, ignore every speaker and the gyrations they cause, because the only speaker that matters this weekend is Powell, and he's scheduled to go on at 10 a.m. tomorrow, Eastern time. That's it. There's the community chat. Let's talk about the yesterday's behavior and today. Yesterday, there are several potential reasons for yesterday's rally, but it was a confluence of events. The confluence being that, frankly, I think institutions, pension types, are reading these type of Goldman and Bank of America reports now, saying, "Okay, I'm a little underexposed. I have to have some gold," whether it be miners or gold itself. They're looking at it, and so I think these bids came in at the moving averages, 100-day for gold and 50-day for gold and 100-day for silver. 150 for gold and 50 and 30 for silver. Sorry. Anyway, the buying came in at technical levels, and technical levels are usually either institutions that want to buy a level and they're being disciplined about it, or shorts that are covering after a sell-off. And it could be both, but it's primarily institutions the way it bounced off. It didn't pause, it paused and bounced. So that's a sign that there's buying that wants to get filled, as opposed to buying that's patiently making money catching a knife. Another reason for yesterday, I think the market, from what we read yesterday, last night, after we sent out the PM Gold Fix, was markets are, we read a couple things, a zero hedge piece and a Bloomberg piece. Markets are expecting a very dovish Powell based on short-term interest rate futures and the anticipation of further revisions downward in employment. It's quite possible that the reason gold and silver ran so hard yesterday was in part because they were actually lagging stocks' optimism, but now are joining the fray a little bit. I don't know. It's a story. I added to a long position yesterday, but it's only for 2 days, so I don't really think it's something to get crazy about. Might be, but that's why I own physical as well. I would note that I was pointed out again by Zero Hedge that the last time Powell cut or started cutting, I should say, was September 18th last year, and he cut 50 basis points. And it was around that time that the Fed, not the Fed, BLS revised its job numbers much lower. That was the first time. And there's a good chance that that could happen again. And if it does, there's your reason for a full 50 basis point cut by Powell coming out of Jackson Hole. So something to keep in mind. Let's look at a chart. We'll get those moving averages correct that I was talking about. All right, so here's gold. Right, so now gold is going to start this, maybe start this game again. 100 day, it came up to the 100 day and it rallied off of it twice. It's very good. I'll squish this a little bit. Right, and now we're between the 150 day. Again, I don't want to put any meaning on the 50 day until there's a slope. Okay, if it was sold there, fine, it was sold there, but it's just a number and they're just using a number. There's no meaning to that number until it has a slope. On the other hand, the 100 day does have meaning. So if we crack below that before the data, you might want to buy the dip. If we crack below that after not the data, after Jackson Hole, you might not want to buy a dip. That's just the bias that I have going into these before and after event sort of things. Silver, same idea for silver. And this is a coincidence. This is the 50 day in silver, and that's a 30-day moving average that we like to look at. Once silver gets going, it seems to kind of bounce off the 30-day. So that's something that we like to look at. So they're same idea, right? Same idea. Technical buying comes in at a moving average. Technical buying usually stops the market from falling on a moving average, but this hit the average and went up, so that meant the buying is less patient. That meant the buying wants to get in before Jackson Hole. That meant the buying is looking to hedge stocks, which are weaker. Who knows? And look, as we're talking, gold's rallying. This is interesting. Gold's rallying during U.S. time now, or heading into U.S. times. That's it. There's really not a lot to say here, but let's take a look at the markets again. Dollar's up 15. Again, markets are going to disconnect going into Jackson Hole a little bit. You say, oh, the dollar's down, gold should be down. Or the dollar's down, gold should be up. And it's not, you know. And there are going to be moments where the correlations come back. But right now, people are squaring their books up for another event. Jackson Hole can be a nothing burger for monetary policy. But it's usually you get a lot of papers that are released there, a lot of theories and a lot of sales pitches. To people, you know, it's like, and this is our new theory why you should go negative interest rates. Like you had one of those in 2016, 2017, I was paying attention to. And the last Jackson Hole, or not last Jackson Hole, but Jackson Hole before like 2020 or 2019, I'm not sure what the year was, but they were talking about how they were going to change how inflation was calculated. And the Fed adopted that policy. And that's what was at least an antecedent cause of the disaster that was the slow moving move to raise rates in 21 and 22. Anyway, I'm Vince. That's it. Have a great day.
Well, thanks for watching this morning's Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey. We sure appreciate you tuning in and starting your day with us here. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you again tomorrow. Please note that this video is not intended as legal licensed financial trading advice and is to be used for informational purposes only. Please contact your financial advisor before making any decisions, and thanks for watching.